So I will now call the Vina Groundwater Sustainability Agency and Rock Creek Reclamation District Joint Board Meeting of December 15th, 2021 to order. This meeting is held. We don't have all of the statutes that it's being held on, but it is being held in person and online using the Zoom format. Under state statute, we'll just put it that way. All members of the public may address the boards on any item listed on the agenda or during business from the floor. Members of the public can submit comment in one of three ways. Email to vinagsapublicomments.com at chicoca.gov, verbally in person at the meeting, or verbally in Zoom application or by phone. There may be a time limit. Our time limit is typically no more than 3 minutes, unless the board chairs specify a different time limit due to the number of speakers. With that, I will call the Vina Groundwater Sustainability Agency regular board meeting to order. We will go to the roll call. Linda Herman.
Thank you, Chair. Can you hear me okay with my mask, I hope? Okay.
Yes, you're fine. We aren't masked because we have these plexiglass boundaries, and for transparency, people can see our faces and don't think we're hiding anything.
Sure thing. Board Member Reynolds?
Here.
Board Member Kimmelshue?
Here.
Board Member Cooper?
Here.
Vice Chair Royer?
Here.
And Chair Tuschinski?
Here.
Thank you.
Item 1.3 is the consent agenda. All matters listed under the consent agenda are to be considered routine and enacted by one motion. Item 1.3.1 is adoption of a resolution renewing the authorization to conduct teleconference meetings for both the Vina GSA Board and Stakeholder Advisory Committee meetings. And item 1.3.2 is approval of the financial status report. Do any of the board members wish to pull any of the items? Nope. Is there any public comment on either of these items?
No.
So with that, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Great, is there a second?
Second.
Great, we have a motion by Director Kimmelshue and a second by Director Reynolds. Could we have a roll call of the vote, please, at your convenience?
Sure thing. Board Member Reynolds?
Aye.
Board Member Kimmelshue?
Aye.
Board Member Cooper?
Aye.
Vice Chair Royer?
Aye.
And Chair Tuschinski?
Aye. Thank you. With that, I will turn to Chair Crane for the Rock Creek Reclamation District.
All right, thank you, Chair Tuschinski. I'd like to, at this time, call to order the Rock Creek Reclamation District GSA Special Board Meeting. With that, Secretary Durham, could you do the roll call?
Chair Crane.
Here.
Vice Chair Rice.
Here.
Trustee Bentz.
Here.
Trustee Levy.
On mute.
Yeah, I'm trying to ask him to unmute right now. I've asked him to unmute.
I'll come back to him. Trustee McGowan?
Here.
Trustee Payne?
Here.
Trustee Paiva?
I have also asked him to unmute using my little ask to unmute thing.
Okay, sorry, this is John Levy checking in.
Thanks, John. And Trustee Paiva?
Okay, we'll move ahead. I see Trustee Paiva on there. If you're able to unmute, you can chime in and let us know you're present. But we have a quorum, so we can move forward. I'd like to move on to item 2.3, the consent agenda. The only item on there is a resolution of the Board of Trustees, the Rock Creek Reclamation District, authorizing remote meetings of the Board of the Rock Creek Reclamation District consistent with AB 361 and the Brown Act. And
so I'll make a motion to approve 2.3.1.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion by Vice Chair Rice, a second by Trustee McGowan. Any comments? Seeing none, Winley, will you do the roll call?
Chair Crane?
Aye.
Vice Chair Rice?
Aye.
Trustee Payne?
Aye.
Trustee Benz?
Aye.
Trustee McGowan?
Aye.
Trustee Levy?
Aye.
And Trustee Paiva?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. With that, I'd like to move on to item three. Evan, if you would take over on the joint meeting consent agenda.
Great. The joint meeting consent agenda is item 3.1. It's approval of minutes of the November 15th joint Vina GSA and Rock Creek Reclamation District GSA meeting. Did anybody have any corrections or on the minutes? I'm hearing none, and I'm assuming.
Yeah, I saw one. Did you find that?
Yeah, so there's just one just small typo. It's just an extra sentence under item 3.1.3 under the Rock Creek Reclamation District Board Action. But there's just an extra sentence in there that shows that a motion was seconded and it has two names. So the motion was seconded by Board Member McGowan, and it says Board Member McGowan, and it also says Board Member Benz. So we're just going to delete that last line.
And I can't recall what happened. If you want to know the truth, you can just give it to Evan, Ellen.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you. So if someone would like to make a motion for either board first to make a motion to accept with correction, then that would, with the correction as noted, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to accept that minutes as corrected by Bruce and Winley there. Take that line out, please.
Great. And I think we, just for procedurally, we'll do separate votes of the boards, okay. Just that. So.
Okay, do we have a second from Rock Creek?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Winley, we do the roll call.
Chair Crane?
Aye.
Vice Chair Rice?
Aye.
Trustee Benz?
Aye.
Trustee Levy?
Aye.
Trustee McGowan?
Yes.
Trustee Paiva?
Aye.
Trustee Payne?
Aye.
Thank you.
I'll entertain a motion from the Vina GSA board.
Move to accept the minutes from the last meeting.
Great.
With corrections.
Great.
Second.
Great. So we have a motion from Vice Chair Royer and a second from Director Kimmelshue. Linda, when you're ready.
You guys are quick tonight.
I know, right? That's why I'm saying when you're ready. There's never any pressure on you.
It's
just
Christmas.
When you're ready. It's Christmas.
Board Member Reynolds?
Aye.
Board Member Kimmelshue?
Aye.
Board Member Cooper?
Aye.
Vice Chair Royer?
Aye.
And Chair Tuczynski?
Aye.
Thank you.
Great, so we will move to item four, the joint meeting regular agenda. And item 4.1 is consideration of a resolution to adopt the final groundwater sustainability plan for the Vina groundwater subbasin. Report from the management committee.
Okay, that will be me. So thank you, Chair Tuczynski and members of both boards. Before I start my presentation, I would like to say a few things. I've written it all out. But I'd like to say them as the Director of Water and Resource Conservation. So I hope you will indulge me for a few minutes, hopefully only three. I want to acknowledge and thank all of those who have participated in this process. Thank you to this board and to Rock Creek for your discussions and decision-making. Thank you to our SHAC for volunteering your time and opinions over the course of the last 2 years. You've debated and disagreed, and although not always on the same page, you have participated, which is more than most. It is my desire to continue those debates and conversations and find ways to collaborate to the best of our ability. The SHAC has been and will continue to be an integral part of this plan and process. Thank you to the public for joining the conversation. Your input has helped shape this plan. Thank you to our consultants, GeoSynTech, Joe and Amir, and I'm glad Joe's here tonight in the audience. To Tanya at Consensus Building Institute and to Valerie Kincaid, our legal counsel. You've guided us through this process. Lastly, I want to acknowledge staff, this management committee, excluding me. While you might say that they've just been doing their job before Sigma, they already had full-time responsibilities. Linda has served as your clerk of the board, organizing our agendas, minutes, and packets, and bringing her expertise to the table. Christina is our modeling expert. There is no other county in this state that has their own Dr. Buck. Kelly is our well monitoring expert and environmental scientist. She is the one that tells us what is happening with our wells and soon our streams and GVEs. Kelly and Christina have contributed significantly to this document, including the preparation of responses to comments. Unlike other GSAs whose consultant teams take on the responsibility of responses, Christina and Kelly are intimately familiar with all the comments received and every page of this GSP. The board, the SHAC, and the public should be proud of this team. And thank you, ladies, for your hard work and dedication. When I accepted this position as the director of Water and Resource Conservation, I told the Board of Supervisors that it is my job to protect the county water rights and resources now and for future generations, that we, the county, should be a leader in water management and show others how it should be done. The adoption of this GSP and the other two GSPs in Butte County are among many tools that will help protect and manage our water for use for all uses and users. Is this document perfect? No, but after January 2022, notice I said after January when it's submitted, it can be revised, updated as we obtain more data, implement projects, and have a better understanding of the influence of climate change. As the Director of Water, my door is always open. If you have questions, concerns, ideas, or complaints, please know that I am and we are available and here to serve you and this community. Adopting this GSP is a significant milestone, yet it is just the beginning. So I thank you. And with that being said, that's not what I was intending, but thank you. So with that being said, next slide, please, Kelly. In a minute, drum roll. So the sustainable, we're just gonna go through kind of an overview of everything, the process up to this point, and then to the resolution. The Sustainable Groundwater Management Act requires the subbasin GSP to be submitted within the statutory deadline of January 31st, 2022. And tonight, both boards are considering adoption of the GSP through the approval of a joint resolution to adopt the final groundwater sustainability plan for the Vina groundwater subbasin. This is the first step towards SGMA review compliance. Next slide, please. Since our last meeting, we, in collaboration with GeoSyntech, have been editing the GSP per our review and comments received and responding to comments. Our work effort is contained in Appendix 1F of the document, and hopefully you've had an opportunity to look at that. And in that appendix, you will see a summary memo with master responses, a comment tracking table with comment responses and cross-references to the master responses, as well as all of the comment letters received. And there's 8 letters that were submitted by members of the public, which are identified as P1 through P8, and 7 letters submitted by agencies and organizations identified as A1 through A7. Next slide, please. The summary memo with master responses, there's master responses to some key topic areas, which include measurable objectives and minimum thresholds, groundwater dependent ecosystems, interconnected surface waters, projects and management actions, and interbasin coordination. And by preparing these master responses, we were able to provide a more comprehensive response that addressed all of the nuances of some of the comments that talked about those topic areas. The appendix also has the comment tracking table, which includes shorter responses to comments received, as well as cross-references to those master comments or master responses. It also contains all of the letters. So next slide, please. Changes to the GSP. Also online, we have a redline version of the document, and you'll see in that redline version that there's the new text is red underline, deleted text is red strikeout, and moved text is green underline. So it was in somewhere in the document and it has been moved to that location, and then where it was moved from is green strikeout. And changes included typos, changes to maps, graphics, and tables, and revisions per both boards that came out of last meeting, and additions to the appendices. Other things that we added that hadn't been there before was an acknowledgments page, as well as a preface. And I hope you had an opportunity to read the preface. It really describes the GSP preparation in the context of the drought. Next slide, please. So our submittal timeline after adoption, we will be working to put this on DWR's portal by January 31st, 2022. DWR's technical review will be based on evaluation criteria and the GSP, Sigma and GSP regulations. And DWR will be reviewing the GSP for compliance with those regulations, including some of the first questions they answer is, was the plan submitted by the statutory deadline of January 31st? They'll review it for completeness, meaning does it appear that it includes all of the information required by the Act and the regulations sufficient to warrant thorough evaluation by the department? The plan, they review it to determine if the plan covers the entire subbasin that is identified on DWR's portal, and is it likely to achieve the sustainability goal? Next slide, please. So the evaluation takes, I'll say, up to 2 years. Hopefully they'll be able to refine their process as they receive about 70 GSPs in the next month and a half. And GSPs will be designated, so upon their review, they'll be designated as approved, incomplete, or inadequate. And I'm sure many of you know that they are now, DWR is now coming out with their comments on several of the critically overdraft GSPs that were submitted 2 years ago. So that's out there. And so a couple have been approved and many of them are incomplete. So when they're approved, the GSAs can go about continuing on with the implementation of their plan, and they'll provide annual reports and 5-year updates to DWR. If the plan is identified as incomplete, the plans are given up to 180 days, so that's 6 months to revise and resubmit to DWR. If it's deemed incomplete, DWR recommends corrective actions, which may include some things, and this is based on my review of many of those letters that have been incomplete. They ask them to define some of their criteria representing the conditions that would lead to an undesirable result, so they'll just want some more details. They ask for items to reassess before the first year assessment, so there might be more detail that they want to see in the 5-year assessment. And or they might want them to expand and describe some of the methodologies for their various assessments within the plan. DWR, it's my understanding that DWR actually contacts the GSAs and works with them directly to go over what they're looking for in the documents that make it incomplete. And then they can also identify that the GSP is inadequate. And from what I understand, inadequate means like they're not even really caring that they have to do this document, that they didn't really make an effort to try to achieve sustainability and they're not really working towards that goal. I don't know if any have been identified as completely inadequate. I think most of them are coming up either approved or incomplete. So, but we'll see. There's many more that are still coming out. Again, DWR will meet and discuss compliance issues with the GSA. So they have been giving them a heads up. Next slide. So Kelly will be talking in 4.2 kind of about next year's schedule, so I'll leave that to her. But with regard to the GSP administration and implementation, what we will be focusing on the coming months or the next year is clarifying each of the member agencies' role for administration and implementation of the GSP. We will be looking at pursuing funding opportunities. The Sustainable Groundwater Management Grant Program, we are in round two as a high and medium priority basins are in round two, which means they can go after funding in either late 2022 or early 2023. So in the meantime, what we hope to be doing is looking for other grant opportunities outside of Sigma's grant program, essentially, whether it's there's multiple potential funding sources. For example, just the other day in the Ag Alert, I was looking at an NRCS grant for a recharge project. So hopefully we'll be able to look at those kind of funding mechanisms for some of the projects that we've identified in the plan.
Director Moser, yes. And just a quick question. I hope it's okay. I interrupted you. It's permissible for us to go ahead and apply for grants, even though our GSP may not have been approved yet.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, and that way, hopefully it'll be approved and they'll say, just continue on. But in the meantime, yes. We'll also be partnering with other local agencies, regional agencies and organizations for project implementation. And then we'll also probably need to have the discussion for assessments and fees for administering the project implementation. So those are discussions that we'll be having in the coming year. So next slide, please. I wanted to read just a little bit from the preface, if I can find my preface document. The preface is really good. We can't take credit for it, though. David's Engineering helped us out with that. The Vina GSA and Rock Creek Reclamation District GSA and the stakeholders within the sub-basin recognize that this GSP is not the finish line. It is the starting line for sustainable management of the sub-basin. As conditions within the sub-basin change, the GSAs within the sub-basin are committed to an open, transparent, and all-inclusive adaptive management strategy aimed at tackling the important local issues that they face. At the heart of Sigma is the power for locals to solve local problems with local resources. All parties in the sub-basin are committed to doing just that. So with that in mind, the management committee is recommending both boards adopt the final GSP for the Vina groundwater sub-basin, and the resolution also authorizes the management committee to make minor typographical corrections and internal consistency edits to the GSP if they're needed prior to submittal to DWR. And I say that because you know when you go through a document, you're like, there's a typo. So we want to be able to correct those typos. And that is all I have. Questions?
Yes, are there any questions?
I will also say that Christina Buck is online. She wasn't feeling well, so she's available for questions as well.
Great. I'll open up to the boards for initial questions before we go to public comment.
So I guess my biggest question, and thank you for the report. I like how you framed everything up and really appreciate it. And you guys did incredible work over not just the past 2 years. What's the lead up on this been? More like three or four at the very least. And GeoSyntac, thank you. You guys have been there with us every step of the way, including through losing some members. So I miss them tonight. Any event, I guess my biggest concern is on the implementation plan and the fact that we just reviewed a $15,000 annual budget and we're looking at $200,000 to $400,000 annually. And and a big part of that is administrative costs, but it's including monitoring activities, data analysis, reporting evaluation activities, and all sorts of implementation data gaps that have actually, I think, been the cornerstone of the conflict and concerns that have come before both of our boards. I appreciate that the grants application process doesn't start until third or fourth quarter of 22, and then we're looking at 23, but I also look in here and we're charged with moving into implementation phase on this plan the second we submit it. So thoughts on what we need to be doing. I understand we're going to talk about calendar a little bit later in the agenda, but I'm concerned about losing a quarter of the year, and we can address that more directly when we get to that section of the agenda. I guess I'm concerned about the jump from 15,000 to 200 to 400,000 and getting moving on this.
Right, losing the momentum.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thoughts? I know I'm asking a really general question.
Right, and I think that will have to be part of probably the discussion in the next meeting, which I think is slated for April, which will be after the submittal of the annual reports, which is due April 1st. And I think that'll be our focus for the first 4 months of next year. We have, the county has another project that will also help to inform some of that document as well, and which is the drought impact study. And I think we'll have some information of things that we might want to focus on. And then coming April, we'll have to have a discussion of what that will look like. And that's part of, you know, identifying the roles of the member agencies and really what needs to be done and looking at various options for administration and implementation, whether it's county staff assisting with that, a consultant, and then how we go about getting funding for that, as well as looking toward to, let's say, Rock Creek and other local agencies and entities that can assist with or want to implement projects right away. Mm-hmm. I know that doesn't answer your question.
No, but I appreciate understanding your thought process.
And if Christina or Kelly have any additional comments, they can hop on.
Yeah, and I wanted to jump on that as well. Being a Butte County elected official, we're anxious to get our water and resource people back to work on county issues. Not that this isn't a county issue, but you guys have been carrying the water for three of these projects. And so I think it's imperative that we start looking at grants ASAP to start funding either consultants to do our work or reimbursing the county for some of the work that we have done. So just wanted to go on record as saying that. Thank you.
Well, on that front, could you explain a little bit about, and again, this may be in the other conversation, and if it is, that's fine. We can defer the question to then. But the conversation that we'd had just very briefly about having a ballot measure and considering those avenues of funding, whether those things would need to be included in the discussions for implementation that we have in the future, those types of things. Again, that may not be that might be more of the discussion for the calendar and why you created the calendar the way you did, but I just want to throw that out there because we seem to be having the discussion about kind of that direction and the scope of the agency right now.
Right. I don't know what all Kelly's going to cover, so if it is in there, Kelly, just throw something at me. But I think it's really more deferring it until that April, more of an April discussion when we come back, and being able to give you more clear options and directions, perhaps even, you know, a summary of options or a menu of options and things that we would need to look at, and perhaps even the costs associated with that. So for example, if we were to do some kind of assessment, let's say a 218 hearing, there has to be a financial study a fee study in order to do something like that, because we have to make a nexus on what types of fees we're going to charge. So we want to be able to give you more information to be able to guide us in the direction that the board wants to go. And then we could also talk about potential funding opportunities as well for grants and kind of do a combination of things, but to kind of flesh it out a little more in the next 4 months.
And just to follow up on that as well, I think that when we think about implementation, we look on that graph and it says, you know, January of next year we're starting. That does include identification of the actual grant funds and sources. So not necessarily that we're putting, you know, rubber on the ground where it hits the road, but that we are starting that process. And so I think come in April, we'll be able to provide you guys more information on those different options.
I have another question about the plan in particular. You mentioned a bit about having some information that you've been able to gather from the 2020 submitted plans. Do we have any guidance from those about how DWR has responded to updates that anybody may have supplied? Because we've been talking about how our process is iterative, mm-hmm. and how we're going to look at the data that we get and we may revise our plan. And I deferred to the experience at the last meeting of Director Kimmelshue with dealing with DWR. It's not an agency I deal with, but I use the analogy of my mother and the letters, how we put something in writing and it tends to stick. So do we have some experience with how DWR has reacted to people amending, if you will, at the early phase, their plans?
Right, so the document that is submitted is the document that they review. So if any of those GSAs have gone and perhaps identified projects or additional things that they want to do that would be part of the GSP, that's not included in that GSP, and they haven't amended the plan that DWR is reviewing. So let's say we decide to, we want to add XYZ to our plan. We won't resubmit the plan at that time. We'll wait till we get their review back. Some of the things that we might identify over the course of the 2 years while they're reviewing it might be things that they come back if they say ours is incomplete, that say you need to do XYZ, and we'll say we did, or we have, or this is our plan for doing that. So, and then at that time we can provide updates to amend and provide updates to the plan. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay.
So then the next opportunity then would be in 5 years. So if there are issues, you know, our data gaps and other things, data gaps, monitoring, and other things, prompt revisions, the five-year mark would be the next time that our plan might be revised?
We could do it at that point, and we might want to wait until that point and not have to go through the process of continually updating and amending the plan, because it does have to come back to this board every time we do that after that time. Does that make sense? So unless it's something, yes, so I think waiting till the five-year point mark might be the time to just do that complete update. But if there's a reason beforehand that we want to make a significant change, we could do that.
Great, thank you. Good, I just wanted that understanding. Are there any other questions from board members? Okay, reserving the right for any future questions. Why don't we open up the public comment? We have one hand up online, and we have comment cards as well. Do we have one comment card, or?
We do. We have one comment card on item 4.1, Mr. Greg Sonner.
Great. We'll invite him down, please. Thank you. A member of our SHAC.
Good evening. I'm Greg Sonnery, a SHAC member. At the 1019 SHAC meeting, we voted 5-4 to not change the MOs or the MTs and the GSP. Domestic user Sam Gepp was absent. At the 11-4 meeting, we again reviewed the options on the MOs and MTs and voted again 5-4 not to make changes. This time, Sam Gepp was there and voted with majority, and Chris Madden, who had voted majority at the previous meeting, was absent. So basically, at that point, our committee was 6-4 against changing the MOs and MTs. During the 11-4 meeting, Supervisor Lucero and SHAC member Todd Green expressed disappointment with the decision, and Todd Green suggested that his dissenting opinion should be issued. Richard Harriman, who is an attorney and a county water commissioner, jumped in and, speaking as a member of the public, said that there is no Brown Act prohibition for SHAC members to communicate, to confer, and present a dissenting report. SHAC members are not elected. Sam Gepp strongly objected and pointed out that the SHAC is a Brown Act committee, and that a group of members getting together to write a dissenting opinion would likely violate the Brown Act. On 11-12, approximately, Vina GSA board alternate Lucero issued a press release for dissenting view on GSP and extended comments, which was signed by 5 members of the SHAC, including Chris Madden, who evidently had been convinced to change his stance after the November 4th meeting. Supervisor Lucero published it on her Facebook page as well, but it appears that she has since removed it. It's one thing to present a dissenting opinion to the board as an individual, which has been done both verbally and in writing on many occasions, but it is completely disrespectful and wrong when a group of SHAC members and a board alternate take it upon themselves to violate our communication plan and issue a press release, especially when it misrepresents our committee as a group of technical experts and included extended comments from people who are either brand new to the SHAC or not even members. Many of the assertions were unconfirmed in conflict with the work completed by a long-term engineering consultants. I am personally offended by how this was handled, and that I and 4 of the members of the SHAC who did not participate in this were included in the reprimand memo issued by the management committee. In order to be able to have a chance to heal these wounds and have the Shack be able to resume working together, I'd like to have several questions answered. One, how is it appropriate for one of our alternate board members and the water commissioner to encourage members of the Shack to violate our communication plan and possibly the Brown Act? Number two, who drafted the press release and coordinated bringing five members of the Shack together outside of the meeting? Number three, can we ask Ms. Kincaid if this was a violation of the Brown Act? And number four, what action will be taken so that this does not happen again? So those are my comments, and I would encourage both boards to adopt the final version of the GSP. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Brobeck, let me ask you to unmute.
We ask, is Valerie Kincaid on the line?
Valerie Kincaid is on the line. This was not technically about the GSP itself. I will defer to my board members if they wish to consider otherwise. But apart from his, I respect Mr. Sonry, and I wasn't going to interrupt him. But this was could have been a business from the floor item because it wasn't technically about the item that we were discussing. If we wish to address it at another time, then that's fine. But I don't believe that this is about the item particularly that we're discussing now. Our discussion is about adopting the plan. But again, I'm only the chair. I'm not the dictator of this board. So,
well, I think those questions need to be answered. I don't know that there should be answered under this agenda item, but I think they could be answered under business from the floor. So I would implore the chair to bring back this topic after we're done with 4.1 and 4.2.
Certainly. Thank that you was very, kind of my intention, yes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Yeah. Chair.
Thank you. Jim Brobeck, let me... there we go.
Thank you, Chair Tuchinski. In my participation on the Stakeholder Advisory Committee, I've been steadfast in my focus on ecosystem preservation and compliance with SGMA regulations. Environmental community concerns about fatal impacts to groundwater-dependent ecosystems that depend on shallow groundwater have largely been passed over in creating the water level management criteria. There have been long-standing assurances of future groundwater-dependent ecosystem monitoring since the early days of the BMO process quite a few years ago, once implementation funding is available. This draft will not prevent undesirable results for groundwater-dependent ecosystems. The draft plan will not lead to sustainability as required by SGMA and will allow major deep groundwater fluctuations that will have undesirable ecosystem results, as well as significant well failures and cost burden on farms, homes, and businesses. As our director advised us, DWR has reviewed similar GSPs, and if the revealed deficiencies related to the establishment of management criteria, including how minimum thresholds define when undesirable results may occur. And when these deficiencies are brought to the attention of the GSA, they need to be addressed within a period of 180 days. And I understand how important it is to have this plan be submitted. So I encourage the VINA GSA board to recognize this GSP has significant deficiencies that may preclude the DWR's approval of the plan, and to prepare to develop corrective measures that will protect groundwater-dependent ecosystems, domestic well owners, and others. Thank you for taking my comment this evening.
Thank you for the comment. Are there any other comments? I'm seeing none online. Okay, then I will close the public comment period. And I will open it up to any comments that board members may wish to make, or any comments that staff may need to make to clarify anything. I'll just make a quick comment that I have been a dissenting vote in a number of these meetings, not on everything, but on a few significant things. I made a little note for myself just so that I would not stumble over them entirely, because a few of them are complicated. One of them was the undesirable results definition and identification statement for the groundwater levels in the sustainable management criteria. That's what it said in the agenda. And what that really meant was that we would have defined that the groundwater level criterion was an issue for us if we had two monitoring wells in a management area at the minimum threshold for two consecutive non-dry years. And during our climate issues, that definition for me was a little bit of a red flag, and I wondered whether we could come up with our own definition. Again, not opposing our plan for this measure, but it was a concern of mine. Another concern of mine was the measurable objective set at the 2030 level that we did at our last meeting. I was more in favor of the alternative that was proposed. And I made a compromise vote when we had the sustainable yield at 10,000 acre feet. I had initially supported the direction that we gave to Shaq of what we at the time called the middle of the road imbalance target of 15,000 acre feet. I made that compromise vote and sort of hoped that we might move along and get to a higher level. Didn't happen, that's fine. 10,000 acre feet was clearly better than around 1,100 or 2,800. So I can live with where we are. We have a large extent of unknowns with the data gaps that we have with the groundwater dependent ecosystems and the interconnected surface water. I feel assured that Assistant Director Buck or Associate Director Buck, whatever her current title is after being Interim Director Buck, when she said that we're not talking about a magnitude of 50,000 acre feet of difference, that we're probably talking about a magnitude close to the discussion that we had about 10,000 acre feet. So I can live with this plan, mainly because of the discussions that we had, that it is iterative. And I trust, again, my colleague here about how DWR works, and I trust that we are going to spend time going over the data carefully. And the system that we all agreed with the polygons and the other research that's been done particularly well by our colleagues over here at Rock Creek Reclamation District and reviewed by all of us here, is going to get us to the data that we need, and we're going to be monitoring very carefully. So I am going to be supporting and signing on this plan, because that's one of the things the chair gets to do is sign on these things. Very extensive thing, and it's got a signature page. Because even though I'm not happy with everything in the plan and I have some serious concerns, there are going to be these opportunities to address it. And if DWR kicks it back to us, then I know that we're going to have that opportunity to review it. So I want to make that clear that even though I have, in the course of the process, been a dissenter, at the end of the day, I am going to support and help implement the plan that we have worked on jointly in this sub-basin. So that's my comment. If nobody else has any comment, I will look to either side to make a motion one way or another.
Chairman Tuchinsky, I'd like to thank you for your comments. I echo your sentiments on a lot of fronts. So it was very thoughtful and I appreciate it. With that in mind, I move to adopt the GSP as drafted.
I'd second that, and I would also thank the chairman for his thoughtful comments. I think that is a very impressive way to move forward with this project. Obviously, there has not been complete agreement on this, but the fact that we can work with each other and make the changes as we need to later on down the line. So thank you for those comments.
Great. Thank you. Great. We have a motion and a second. Without any further discussion, roll call vote.
So it's to adopt the resolution.
Adopt the resolution, correct.
Right. That's what the motion was.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Okay, she was asking if we had that in there.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, that is what your motion is. Yes. The resolution, yes.
As written,
the resolution,
as written. Yes. Yes. Sure. Sorry.
Yes.
Board Member Reynolds?
Aye.
Board Member Kimmelshue?
Aye.
Board Member Cooper?
Aye.
Vice Chair Royer?
Aye.
Chair Chusinski?
Aye. Sorry, and all the kumbaya, I guess we didn't get the verbiage right, so.
All right, is there a motion from Rock Creek Reclamation?
Yeah, I'd so move to adopt the plan as written. And Evan, I'd like to say I really appreciate working with you. And I can assure you that, at least from Rock Creek side, we all know that an old saying from Bob Lockbaum, little rattlesnakes grow up to be big rattlesnakes, and we're going to take care of this early. So,
I'll second your motion, Bruce.
All right, any further discussion?
It's saying that you the motion is to adopt the resolution to approve the plan.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Is that correct, Trustee McGowan?
Is that your motion?
Yes. Yes.
To adopt the resolution to adopt the plan.
Right. I'm okay. A little hard of hearing.
That's okay. Just got to get that resolution part in there.
I'd like to adopt I move to adopt the plan as proposed.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All right. Seeing no further discussion, Winlink, could you do the roll call?
Chair Crane?
Aye.
Vice Chair Rice?
Aye.
Trustee Bentz?
Aye.
Trustee Laby?
Aye.
Trustee McGowan?
Aye.
Trustee Paiva?
Aye.
Trustee Payne?
Aye.
Thank you.
Great. We are going to move to item 4.2, and I'm going to ask Valerie to please stay. I think originally we were going to ask Valerie to leave. Let me make sure she's still here. Yes, good. Yes.
I'm here.
Thank you, Valerie. I think this item, because we're going to be talking about moving forward with the VINA GSA, I think would be a good time to address. I wasn't overlooking your comment, Mr. Sonri. I just was going to have it be discussed at time in the agenda. I'll have the quick presentation, because I don't think it's going to take her very long, from Kelly, and then we can have the discussion, which will include Valerie weighing in on your question. So,
great. Thank you, Chair. We actually don't have a presentation today, but this is more of a discussion item. So congratulations to everyone now that we've adopted this VINA GSP. I'm gonna talk to you about some of our next steps. So one of those is, just to give you all the lay of the land here, we're gonna start uploading the information into the DWR portal for all three GSPs that are partially located or fully located in Butte County. I'll be taking the lead on that for all three of those. And it's a little bit more involved than what you might think. It's not just submitting a PDF of the actual document itself, but we'll be uploading all the baseline information for the GSP. And then sort of what you saw in there, the checklist of items where it refers to what section of the GSP actually addresses each specific regulation. In addition to that, we've got to upload all of the GIS data, all the high figure resolution, or the high resolution figures, all the public comments, and then all of the references individually have to get into there as well. And then we confirm submittal and also upload the monitoring data associated with the RMS wells. So that is going to be pretty much the entire month of January blocked off of my calendar for those. So you won't see a whole lot of me, but along the same track there, we're going to have to do in parallel, we'll be working on the annual reports for all three of the GSPs also, and that'll be a joint effort between Christine and myself. The annual reports also, just to remind you, they're also subject to Butte County's Chapter 33, and so what we're doing is we're really aligning the GSP annual reports with Chapter 33 annual reports for the county. So what that means is that even though they're due on April 1st, if we backtrack that, it's really going to have to go through our Water Commission Technical Advisory Committee, and that's the group that we've set aside. They've been in place. It's a great group, seven people. And they really have a good handle on a lot of the technical facets. So we'll be running that through them to get their feedback on it in about mid-January. At that point, we'll be implementing recommendations, feedback from them. We'll propose that to the Water Commission in March. And then hopefully also we'll be able to get that to the Board of Supervisors for their approval and sign off in March as well. Now on the GSA side of it, we'll be looking at probably going to, we had originally intended for the shack to meet in February. We'll probably be pushing that to March. And at that point, we'll present that to them also as sort of an FYI item to get general feedback, but it won't be really a technical review by the shack. They're not a technical advisory committee for us, but they're a stakeholder perspective. So it'll be good to get their feedback on that. That'll probably happen in March, and then at which point it'll come to the board in April after it's been submitted, but we'll give it to you for review. This annual report is going to be basic. It's going to meet the basic requirements. That at that point in April, you can take a look at it, and we can start to have the discussion of what we want to add to it for future years. But at this point, between now and mid-January, we're going to put our head down to the ground and get it done. So the annual report, just to let you know, it's a little bit different than that five-year report. So it's a little bit more basic than that, but it includes an executive summary and a location map. We're going to include groundwater elevation data from all of our RMS wells, and so that'll give you an idea, sort of like a topographic map, but for your groundwater elevations underground. We'll be looking at those contour maps for both spring and fall, so you can kind of see how that changes by season. The groundwater elevation data will also be included for all of our RMS wells. And similar to the hydrographs that you see in the GSP, we'll follow those out to fall of 2021. And you'll see that with the water year type behind that for the historical data. So that'll give you sort of an updated view of that. The annual reports also require reporting of groundwater extractions for that preceding water year, so 2021 water year, and that's by water use sector. And so we'll be providing a map for that also. In the annual report, it also requires a estimate of surface water supply used or available for use for groundwater recharge or in-lieu use, and that's reported out by volume and source. And then finally, we look at the change in groundwater in storage. So the storage will be depicted, the change in storage will be depicted through maps and graphs, and that's both on an annual basis and a cumulative basis. And then additionally, a copy of all the monitoring data is associated with that. So as you can see, it's a lot of work to do in the next, you know, 2 or 3 months. So I know we had talked about meeting in January, but I think as the management committee and staff, we really kind of need some time to get to, you know, down to the work and get the work done. So thinking that through, in the March SHAC meeting, we'll probably be, like I said, providing a copy of the annual report to them, and then also maybe opening up the charter for any additional edits or recommendations by the advisory committee itself if they want to relook at that now that we have a difference in facilitation services. So Tanya Carlone with CBI, her services have ended, so we'll be moving forward in a different way, but it's a good time to open it up and see if there's any suggestions there. And then in April with the boards, we'll also be doing the annual report overview, going through that with you. And that's the time for election of officers again, for at least the Vina GSA, scheduling our 2022 calendar of meetings, potentially looking at the SHAC charter recommendations and adjusting that if needed, and developing and discussing a 2022 work plan like Cami discussed, and also the GSA's future funding strategies and next steps on implementation, which we talked about, which would be, you know, filling those data gaps that we've identified and potentially getting updates on the PMAs that are currently underway and the ones that we want to get underway coming up. So looking ahead, March, you know, March would be the SHAC meeting, April the board's meeting, and then probably quarterly from there. So SHAC meeting again in June, the board's meeting again in July, so on and so forth. So with that, I'll just open it up for any questions or additional discussion. And Christina's on the line too, if there's any questions specifically about the annual report as well.
Any questions from the board about that?
I just want to say that I'm fine with not meeting maybe till March or April, okay? But after that, I think we need to consider meeting maybe on a monthly basis, even if it's a very short meeting. I would hate to lose the momentum we've got going. I know you have worked very hard, and many of us have worked very hard also, but I think it's really important that we stay in touch, not meet just quarterly, meet monthly, even if it's just for a half hour, to talk about our plans and our goals and objectives, to work with partners and possibly get grants to move along with some of the projects we want to do. So that's just my opinion, my suggestion. We're doing great things here, and we got a lot of great things ahead of us, and I think we need to keep the momentum going. It's easy to lose momentum. So that's my comment.
I'd like to add one item to that is also for consideration that I know it's in everybody's mind, but the addition of other PMAs as well. So that's a big point that we need to keep the momentum moving. The first shot on what we did on PMAs is a good first start, but a lot of the focus was on a lot of the details having to do with all the sustainable criteria, et cetera. So we need to keep contemplating other potential PMAs. I know there's a lot of them out there, and we need people to put their heads together and work to try to enhance that list. And that would be an item with potentially as far as more frequent meetings is a routine agenda item to keep that ambitiously moving forward.
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, we can talk about the calendar in 2022 in April as well as the work plan. So that all sounds right on the same line as what we're thinking.
Yeah, I don't want to, I agree with the comments that have been made that I think we do need to keep the momentum going and doing it monthly. I think the SHAC has more, I think they have a heavier lift in reconstituting themselves than we might think on the surface. They don't have a chair. They don't have a structure other than consensus by a facilitator we no longer have. We had several members of the SHAC show up at previous meetings, a couple members, or at previous meetings, asking if they were even going to continue to exist once the plan was created. And I actually think that the need for that constituent representation, which sometimes they end up fully aligned and other times they come into us completely split, and both of those are very telling. I don't want to run the risk of having a major disruption with the SHAC or having them kind of fall apart on us. And you know, it's kind of reached a crescendo as some of the observations that their member, Greg Sonnery, shared with us tonight. So, I don't want to put a huge burden on the staff, but maybe if somebody had the ability to facilitate the SHAC getting moving maybe in February instead of March, just to start talking about how are they going to organize, how are they going to want to conduct themselves, how do they want to have their process, and because they need to become a little bit more independent now that we don't have a professional facilitator guiding it, and that isn't necessarily something that should fall exclusively onto the staff. And I think that would actually take up some board time for the SHAC in February to be able to come together, kind of start figuring out, okay, what do we want to be? What do we think we can be to help support this process moving forward? The board to take some time to reflect on that, provide some answers back to them so that in March, they're able to say, okay, here's what we think we want to do. Here's how we want our charter to look. And that allows the staff to continue on all the technical work that you guys have going on. I don't want this to be a heavy load for you, but it's the kind of thing where when you come back and say, okay, we're ready to go now, they're ready to go. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Okay. We do have budgetary constraints to also consider with this. As you can see in the financial report and the consent agenda, I did sort of put some outlays there. An update to that, so those were sort of our outstanding, not quite accounted for, outstanding bills at that point. An update to that since then is that We're probably looking after this meeting at about $2,000 for the remaining funds, which gives us about two or three more meetings with Valerie. So we do have to think about that as well.
Okay, well, that as it's going to be a while before we consider Proposition 2 and 8 or 26 or get any grants, then I think that's for our next meeting. We need to have a discussion about at least the member agencies going back to their boards and saying, are we in a position to increase our contribution so that the GSA can continue its work? And I'd hate for us to, in April, be deciding, oh, now's the time to go ask for more money. I would prefer, you know, the three governmental agencies to be able to have that conversation earlier than later.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you.
Just a real quick minor note is that depending on how the COVID things go, I'm guessing you might need to call us together for a quick little Zoom in March for the SHAC, or again, if there's a decision for a February meeting, we might need to have a board Zoom just to authorize. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was just looking at that. There's two options. When we're doing renewing every 30 days, mm-hmm. there's also you can reauthorize. So you could let the renewal not have to meet every month and just wait until the April meeting to reauthorize Zoom meetings. But if you're going to have Zoom meetings with the SHAC in between, then yes, we should have that 30-day renewal Zoom meeting every day, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I got it. So great. So we might just have to get together by Zoom just to authorize things other than that. Okay, great. I would like to, again, like I said, for the discussion that was raised by Mr. Sonre in his comment, Valerie, are you familiar with what was raised? And if you don't need any primer, then is there any Brown Act violation or at least any Brown Act worry that you have from the folks getting together or crafting a letter jointly, or if you could just answer that question that was raised during the public comment, that would be fantastic.
Sure, and if I understand the situation correctly, you have a Brown Act body that took a vote, and then you have the dissenting portion of that body meeting I assume separately, and I assume it's a quorum. Depending on those two facts, usually that is a Brown Act no-no. You can, of course, always dissent. You can say, I dissent. I don't like this vote. You can write a comment letter. But when you start meeting with a quorum of the board, but not the full board, and it's not a Brown Act noticed meeting, that is not within the confines of the Brown Act. So generally, if people want to dissent, you should either come back together, you should make public comments, you can write letters, but you cannot meet without a noticed meeting, even if you're not elected, if it's a Brown Act body.
And in a 10-member group, what would be considered a quorum? Would that be six or would that be five?
It's usually five, but it kind of does depend on the bylaws. Some people have bylaws that say a quorum is, you know, a third or two thirds, but usually it's a majority. So I guess a majority is six. I would discourage people kind of testing that out and meeting with five. Again, you can call, you have different tools in the toolbox. And I certainly wouldn't have five people, which is half of a board meeting without a notice meeting to discuss items under consideration of that body. So that's my sense. Again, I don't know the exact fact pattern, and I guess it could change depending on if, you know, two people were there or three people were there. But in general, you know, you can even write, there have been other GSPs where members write letters and say, hey, listen, I really object to this, or I don't like this or that. And that's encouraged. I think communication's great, but holding a quorumed meeting without noticing it is not the best approach.
Okay, great. In this case, it was a press release that was released. So that was the process. We're not sure on the exact process, but that was what the question was, and that's what we were forwarding to you. So
great. Yeah, that's right. And I don't know. I don't know if they got together and discussed it. I don't know if there were two people discussing it. I don't know if one person, you know, looked at it. If you forwarded it to five people, that becomes a serial violation of the Brown Act too. So it really depends on the facts of the situation, but certainly dissenting is not a problem. But you know, that's what happens in these things. You take a vote and you have a board, and the vote comes out the way it comes out, but the trick is not to continue meeting. The trick is to dissent kind of unilaterally or as one person. That would be my advice.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yep.
Before we go any further, we do have public comment on this item, and then we can come back and discuss the bulk of the item or this part of the item. Were there any comment cards before I go to our online speaker? Okay, great. We have Supervisor Deborah Lucero as our online speaker. I am theoretically, okay, great. I believe she's unmuted. Supervisor Lucero.
Yeah, I just wanted, I'm sorry I missed the first part of this, but I don't know what Greg Sonnery was talking about in terms of a Brown Act violation, but Christina Buck was there during the SHAC meeting. I was there. And basically, there was testimony given by different members of the board that was not taken into consideration, and they wanted to write a dissenting viewpoint. And I believe Richard Harriman was there. And, you know, it wasn't like everybody got together and said, oh yeah, let's do this. They all had their own opinions. They all added all of that together. So I am wanting more clarity on what they did wrong. Because I think what I heard Valerie say, if they all got together and had a meeting, that would be considered a Brown Act violation. When in fact, they just gathered all of their dissenting opinions and put it into a dissenting document. What is wrong with that? Is that legal or not legal?
The definition of a meeting under the Brown Act is a gathering of a quorum of a group to discuss items under the authority of that body. So whether you want it to be a meeting or not kind of depends on who was there and whether it was a meeting that was noticed or not. Obviously you can always have a meeting, but if you didn't notice it and there's
a meeting, it was five people who had differing opinions about what took place at the SHAC meeting. And they have been trying to get, and not just at the SHAC meeting, about the process and about the MTs and the MOs that were set. There was a domestic well owner who was concerned. Christina knows all of this. She could tell you. I'm not saying anything that was not said at this meeting.
Was it noticed?
Meeting. No, I'm talking about the regular SHAC meeting.
Oh, so it was noticed.
The SHAC meeting was noticed. There was a SHAC meeting, and then subsequent to the SHAC meeting, there was a document that five of the SHAC members signed describing their dissenting opinions about topics that the SHAC had discussed, and that was put out in a press release. So the question is,
they did not meet. Those were all their own opinions, and it was collated together.
Yeah, and it's the so if you sent an email to that group, that's a meeting. And, you know, the Brown Act gets pretty nitpicky about it, but I don't know how the letter came together.
And how much is a quorum, please? That was not answered.
You should look at the bylaws, but I mean, if the rules are, it's a majority, then, you know, if you need six to have a majority, then it's six. If you have five, I mean, if five voted for something as yes, and that carries. So it depends on facts. It depends on.
And is it against the law to have a dissenting opinion?
No, needs to be done. It needs to be done in public.
Supervisor Lucero, that was. I don't wish to have a disagreement with you over Zoom in a public meeting. Those were answered. If you have any comment about the process, please do share that with us. Or any clarification about the process, please share it with us. The council answered about serial meetings and gave her opinion about Brown Act.
I'm just saying that as far as I know, none of that occurred. These folks had dissenting opinions about what had happened throughout this process, and they made that clear. Now, maybe they should have done it individually, which they all have done, I believe, as comments for the final GSP. But I was just trying to get clarity on what was wrong with having a dissenting viewpoint. And the thing that concerns me is these are all good people. They are all entitled to their opinions, and they felt their opinions were important to the process. And I'm concerned about losing good people with technical skills who really can take a look at these kinds of things in a meaningful way. These are all volunteers trying to do good work.
Absolutely agreed. And hopefully the letter that was sent out by the management team conveyed that in a way that wasn't punitive and simply was explanatory and explaining what the process of the VINA GSA has for communications. That was the intention of the letter that was shared with the entire VINA GSA board, I believe with the alternates as well. So I believe that's what the intention was, not to be punitive. And I'm sorry, Mr. Sanre expressed in his public comment that he, if I'm viewing it correctly, that the members who didn't do that may have taken it that way. That was not the intention. It simply was a letter to clarify what the policy was. So again, that, and referring back to what was said by Vice Chair Royer, there apparently is work that needs to be done with this group and divides that need to be healed. And yes, we do salute. I made it a point to thank them at the last meeting individually by name, because we do appreciate what all of our stakeholder advisory committee members have done and all the time they put into the process. And we thank you too, Supervisor Lucero, for your contributions and your attendance at every meeting as an alternate, and from stepping up and serving as well, and your passion and information on this issue and what you've added every meeting. So thank you.
Well, I'm sorry for coming in late, and I wasn't quite sure what happened, so forgive me if I repeated anything. I just wanted to stand up for this group because they're all good people, and I think they had opinions that they felt were not being heard. And there wasn't an official meeting. It was basically a collation of their opinions.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate it. And I'm going to move on to Richard Harriman. I'm going to ask you to unmute.
Thank you. Have you unmuted me, Mr. Chairman? Have you unmuted me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, great. Thank you. Good evening, members of the board, Richard Harriman. I was late too, but I heard enough of the presentation from council to get the parameters of the discussion. What might be useful, since it's been brought up in the meeting, is for the board to direct council to come back with an analysis in writing to get the letter of the law. I suspect she was not in planning to have to opine on that this evening, and I know, having been in her seat, I would like to have an opportunity to express with research. My hearing of the way that it was presented is that if there was a deliberation, a serial communication among the parties that resulted in some communication, I am not aware of any precedent for providing individual letters that are then made public. I don't know that there was any deliberation on it, but I think in all fairness to Valerie, that she ought to have a chance to look at those facts and come back with something. I think you should clear the air, and knowing the chair as I do, I suspect that's probably the fair thing to do.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Harriman. And is there any comment from management committee on this issue? I don't know if Valerie wasn't, she may very well have been included on the letter. I don't, I don't know if in the process.
We didn't actually send that to her.
Okay.
Yeah. No problem.
Okay, is there any other comments from the board on this topic or on the agenda item in general?
I just wondered, Greg, did you get all your questions answered? You're okay, but you're satisfied.
Well, I'd like to see if there was an operation of the permit.
Okay.
I mean, that here's our shack bar.
Okay. I guess we will bring that back at a later date when we have an opinion on that. Is that right, Chair?
Yes. So I guess if we could just figure out what our quorum is, that's one thing. I guess we don't know what our quorum is. So if we could figure out, Valerie might be able to just inform us of our what our quorum is, whether it's five or six.
I think it's actually described in the charter itself as a majority.
It's just a quorum is a majority.
I believe it's described in the SHAC charter.
The SHAC charter as a majority.
As a majority.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me.
I didn't know what the SHAC's.
It's in there somewhere.
Yeah, right. It's in there somewhere. I just didn't. It's not one of the things. Okay. If it's described as a majority, then it wouldn't have been a Brown Act violation because that would be six members and that wasn't the number of signatories. So that would be the answer for you. But we could get confirmation of that. That would be great if you could just send it out to us informationally just so we know, and to the SHAC, that would be great. Does that seem a fair? Okay, great. All right, and so
Evan?
Yes, please.
I don't even understand how you could have a quorum without having a meeting that was posted. It doesn't really make any sense.
In Brown Act, again, I'm now just distilling what Valerie said, and I've gotten some Brown Act training so she can correct me, but there is a concept called the serial meeting where if multiple people are, like if you hit reply all on an email and there's communication back and forth, that's considered a meeting. It's called the serial meeting. So with members of our board, if a quorum of our board, three of us communicated away, that's considered a meeting. Even if it isn't a formal meeting, you can
even if it's not posted or anything.
Right, that would be and that's what the Brown Act violation would be. So if a majority of the board, if a non-quorum, two of us communicated, that's not a quorum, but and that's not a serial meeting in that sense. Did I explain that correctly, Valerie, in my bad lawyering, or did you leave us?
Yep. No, you're right. And that's why, you've got the typical coffee shop example where three board members, if you've got a five board member that if they're meeting in a coffee shop, someone should leave, or you shouldn't talk about anything that is within the jurisdiction of the agency. So, I mean, that's the typical Brown Act violation is you walk into a coffee shop and you see three board members sitting there having a talk. Maybe they're talking about their kids going to college, but maybe they're not. And that's where you really get that is a meeting, even though they're just sitting there meeting. If they start talking about groundwater and they're on a GSA board, that's a Brown Act violation. So it's not whether you intend to have a meeting or not. It's whether a meeting is defined by the Brown Act. And that's when you either have a majority in a room together or a majority communicating in an email chain. Those are both meetings.
I'd like to just add to that too. In the letter itself, we just provided a reminder to the members about Brown Act and took a good opportunity to say, if you haven't had your training, let us know. We're going to provide this. One of the other points to this though is that we do have a communication and engagement plan for the Vina GSA, which specifically states how press releases are to be handled. And that's done in coordination with the management committee. That was discussed at the last meeting, and actually it was provided. There was some communication on that from the SHAC members. So they were reviewing that at the last meeting and looked at that. So that's just something that we really want to stick to because it's important for messaging.
Okay, so we will now move on to item five, business from the floor. Members of the public may address the Vina and Rock Creek Reclamation District boards at this time on any matter not already listed on the agenda. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. The boards cannot take any action at this meeting on requests made under this section of the agenda. I see Supervisor Lucero has her hand up, and I just wanna make sure we don't have any comment cards in the building on this. Nope, okay, great. Supervisor Lucero, I think you should be able to unmute. If you can't, I will try again. There we go.
Okay, thank you. I just have a question about how one, if there is someone on, say, the Water Commission or someone who is on another commission and they have a differing viewpoint, I've just never seen, and I realize that I'm trying not to relate it back to the last talk, but I'm trying to, again, get clarity from staff on this. About press releases. That was not a press release from the shack. That was a press release from five individuals. And so I just have, and I have an issue with the way it's being presented. And I know that some people did take this as a punitive act. So anyway, I'll just write a letter for the record about it. Sorry, I just think that we ended on a rather poor note. And I'll write a letter about it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it, Supervisor Lucero. So are there any other comments, business from the floor? Seeing none, we will move to item six, which is, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, just before adjournment, I feel compelled to, just to make a few comments. There were some real kind words said in thank yous, and I do need to do that on behalf of Rock Creek. Management and staff worked tremendously hard and support a lot of deep diving, and I'm including Joe's team, GeoSynTech. You've all earned our confidence. I'm speaking on behalf of myself with, and I think I can speak for the Rock Creek Board as well. A ton of time went on into this process, and each and every one of you was very responsive through the whole process. We're appreciative of it, and like I said, the best I can say is you've tremendously earned our confidence, and we thank you for that. So I wanted to take the chance to say that. Also, thank you for the cooperation with the VINA GSA, much appreciated. I'll reiterate again, I don't wanna dwell on it. There's some things that we gotta work on this, and we've all agreed that we're gonna continue to do that. I appreciate Chair Tuchinsky helping coordinate the meetings, and he does a great job, as we call him, the traffic cop. For it's cumbersome with two different boards meeting at one time, and he's been very effectively taking the lead, and it's recognized by Rock Creek, and we wanna say thank you for that. And just a few other quick thank yous. Rock Creek ad hoc spent a tremendous amount of time analyzing data, hundreds of hours going through data sets to try to be cognizant of domestic wells and everything that had to do with this. So I wanna say thank you to that group as well. And our legal counsel, thank you, Aiden, for the support. And finally, Winley, for everything you've done in the process as well. So those are my thank yous. I hope I didn't, I know I forgot some people, but anyway, a big thank you to the management committee for everything.
It's like the Oscars without trophies. So with that, we'll adjourn to the VINA GSA meeting on April 13th, where they'll decide if they want to keep me and Jeff in these two chairs. And wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, Happy Holiday Season.